And as Children's Church is being dismissed, for the rest of us, we can take our Bibles this morning and turn with us to Colossians chapter number 3. Colossians chapter number 3 this morning. And we will be there momentarily. I was looking through the list of topics I had written down for this series on worship and the ear of God. And I believe we have, after today's study, perhaps two or maybe three more messages in this series on worship as we seek to be grounded and rooted and built up in Christ. But I want you to imagine, you know, this morning and when we gather in church, we sing songs. And with those songs, usually, if the sound equipment is working right, we have a soundtrack and music to go along with those hymns and with that music. But I want you to imagine if your life had a soundtrack, if your life had music, what would that soundtrack sound like? What would that music sound like? Would it be joyful? Would it be peaceful? Would it be chaotic? Would it be silent? Most of us, we think of worship as the 20 or so minutes of singing before the message on Sundays. That's what we equate to and think of what worship is. But what if I told you that worship isn't just confined to music? Worship, as we look at it through the lens of Scripture, we find very quickly that worship is our whole life. And our whole life was meant to be a melody for the Master's ear. And this morning, I want us to explore how our everyday lives, how even in what to you might seem like routine and by the books and mundane and all the rest, but how even your everyday life can be a living song of praise to God, and how we can worship just beyond the music. You're there, Colossians chapter number 3. And notice, if you would, verses 16 and 17. Colossians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. The Bible says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." And for a few moments this morning, that's just a thought I want us to focus on. Melody for the Master's ear. Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we thank you for this day. And Lord, we thank you for your love and your mercy towards us. And we thank you now, Lord, for this opportunity that we have to come and gather in your house again on a Sunday morning to sing your praises and open your word to see a truth that might help us be the church and the Christian you'd have us to be. Lord, now I pray you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit. May the words I speak be those of you and you alone. And may the message be a help, a challenge, and encouragement to these your people. And Lord, if there be one here this morning that know not Christ as their Savior, we pray, Lord, they not leave this place without getting it settled 100% sure that Christ is their Savior and that heaven's their home. And then, Lord, for us that know you and are saved and are Christians, Lord, help our lives to be lives that are pleasing to you. And now, Lord, for all that you'll do, we'll be careful to give you the praise, the honor, the glory for it. Meet with us now in a special and real way, as only you can, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. So there's several things I wanted to see this morning. from our text here in Colossians. The first being this, number one, and that is having a worshipful word. A worshipful word. Notice again verse number 16, first part of it. The Bible says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. And so what we have here is the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Colossae. Now, right after Manny and I first got here on Wednesday nights, we went through the book of Colossians. And the Colossian believers, they were a group of people that they had been taught basically legalism outside of Christ and Christ alone. And here, Paul is continuing that theme by urging the people at the Church of Colossae to live lives that reflect their new identity in Christ. Chapter 3, if you read the entirety of chapter 3, you find out very quickly that it describes and deals with the new man in Christ. That as Christians, we are to put off the old sinful nature and we are to put on the virtues of Christ. And now he tells them here in verses 16 and 17, but verse 16 specifically, that worship is more than just external ritual. He's teaching them that worship starts internally by letting the word of Christ dwell in us, but not just dwell in us, but dwell in us richly. And so when we look at it this morning, we find out very quickly that worship is a lifestyle. Worship is not just a song list. Worship is something that shows up in how we love others. Worship is something that shows up in how we speak. Worship is something that shows up in how we work. Worship is something that shows up in how we serve. You can come to church all you want to and sing all the songs you want to and listen to all the sermons you want to, but if you are not letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly, then you are not worshiping him in spirit and in truth. And you notice what it says there, verse 16. The Bible says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And then I want you to notice verse number 17. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Very simply this morning, we do what we do, including worship, not for one another, not to put on a show, but we do it for the Lord Jesus Christ. We do it for him because he is worthy of that worship. You think of a sponge when you soak it in water. You put it in the water and the water gets into the sponge and then you get the sponge out and you squeeze out that water. And what happens? Water comes out. Well, spiritually, if as a Christian you are soaked in the Word of God, and if you are soaked in the Scriptures and you are soaked in the Bible, then when life squeezes you, what's going to come out? Anger? No. Anxiety? No. But praise is going to come out. Worship is going to come out. Because you have let the word of God dwell in you richly. And so we see we need a worshipful word. We need to realize that worship is more than just ritual. Worship is more than just following a prescribed set of rules and do's and don'ts. Worship is something inside. But we see we need a worshipful word. But then secondly this morning, we see we need wholehearted work. We need wholehearted work. Notice again, verse number 17. The Bible says, "And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." That word, whatsoever, it's all encompassing. It's all interconnected. And Paul here is saying that everything we say, everything we do, it ought to be an act of worship. And it ought to be done in Jesus' name and for his glory. And so this morning, whether you're changing diapers, whether you're feeding a baby, whether you're filing taxes, whether you're working overtime, whether you're cleaning your home, whatever it is you're doing, all of it can be worship. All of it. When your heart is surrounded to God. There was a monk years ago by the name of Brother Lawrence. And he worked in a kitchen and he said this. The time of business, the time of business does not with me differ from the time of prayer. I possess God as peacefully in the bustle of my kitchen as on my knees. In other words, this morning, again, whatever it is you're doing, you can worship the Lord. You can worship God. That's what living worship is about. And then thirdly and finally this morning, we see that not only do we need a worshipful word, wholehearted work, but then thirdly and finally, we see we need willing worship. We need willing worship. Notice the last part of verse 17. Giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Thankfulness this morning tunes the heart to worship. Because here's what happens. When you're thankful, when you're grateful, when you have gratitude, that gratitude, it then shifts our focus from us to God. It shifts our focus from ourselves to where it rightfully belongs to the Lord. It reminds us that everything that we have is a gift. And every moment that we have is a chance to glorify the giver of those gifts. You ever notice that joyful people are usually thankful people? You don't need to have everything to be grateful. You just have to recognize who gave you everything that you have and everything that you need. I've often used the illustration, but it bears repeating. You know, you woke up this morning. That's a gift from God. If you had breakfast this morning before you came to church, that's a gift from God. You're going to go home this afternoon, maybe have a little lunch. Maybe get a nap in. I love my Sunday afternoon naps. When we have a dinner or something or donuts or coffee or something, we call that fellowship. Right? Well, Sunday afternoons, I look forward to fellowship with my pillow, also known as pillowship. I get in there and I'm dead to the world on Sunday afternoons. And it's wonderful. Unless the Eagles are playing. No, even sometimes when the Eagles are playing, I'm out. I'm out like a light. There have been games I've wanted to watch, and I go home on a Sunday afternoon, I have lunch, and I sit in on the couch or I go upstairs, and I'm out like a light. But you have a little food this afternoon. Lord gave us that. You get to go, you wake up tomorrow, you go off to a job somewhere, you go off to school somewhere, or whatever the case may be, you go about running your errands, or you get to go do a hobby, or whatever the case may be. All of those things were given to us by God. And we need to be grateful of those things. And again, it's, we don't need to have everything. to be grateful. And listen, we live in a society today, they want the latest, the greatest, the newest, the, you know, the top of the line and everything else. And, you know, if they're not, I just saw something this week, and I meant to show it to Kenny back there, but apparently there's this company now, they've come out and they're called the Anti-Tesla, or not, they're not called the Anti-Tesla, but they're basically going to release a pickup truck that has no speakers, that has no touchscreen, that has no, none of the bells and whistles of our modern day cars. They're just going back to simple. And a pastor friend of mine out in Illinois, he said his wife thinks he's crazy, but he wants one. And, now today we have self-driving cars. We have everything at our fingertips. And if we don't get it, then we're not grateful. But when we stop to remember what we do have, we would go days without ever being able to stop praising God for what he gave us. And so there needs to be a willing worship. You know, you come to church, you do it willingly. No one twists your arm. No one forces you to come. But you're here because you want to worship God and because you know that it's pleasing to God, that it's pleasing to the Lord. And there needs to be a willing worship. And so the question becomes, how do we make every day worship? How do we make every day worship? Well, 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Every day can be worship. Every day can be your own little mini church service. You go to work. You wake up in the morning. Begin each day with this mindset. Lord, I offer my work to you as worship. Let my attitude, my ethics, my excellence, let them glorify you. In your relationships, whether it's your spouse, whether it's a friend, whether it's a coworker, show them Christ through kindness, through forgiveness. Here's a big one, through patience. We don't live in a very patient society anymore, do we? Everybody's always in a hurry. You go to Walmart, you go to the grocery store, you go to the gas station. Everybody's always in a hurry. And half the time, they never get any further than you do. You ever been driving, somebody cuts you off to, you know, get ahead of you, and then a little bit down the way, you both wind up at the same red light? They didn't get any further than you did. There needs to be patience. But then in our leisure, you know, even when we're resting, we can reflect what God, when done with gratitude and bounds. You know, you come home from work or, a day out or whatever the case may be, and, you know, you're just lounging on the couch, maybe watching TV or, you know, enjoying your family, enjoying friends. You know, you just, you know, you don't have to make it known, but, you know, or, you know, make a spectacle of it or something loud and grandeur or anything like that. But, you know, just quietly to yourself, Lord, thank you. Thank you for what you've done for me and what you've given to me. And listen, you do that every day can be worship, and every day can be something to praise the Lord about, and you don't have to wait or worry about making it to church necessarily to, well, that's where I got to worship God. No, because you've been worshiping him every day before you come to church, and then church is the main event. And where you gather together, you're encouraged before you go out into a lost and dying world. And so this morning, I want you to realize something. And that is simply this: God isn't just listening to what you sing. He's not. And listen, for some of us, that gives us joy, doesn't it? Because some of us, we can't sing to save our life. And so he's not just listening to what we sing. He's watching what you live. He's watching how you live. And is your life producing a sweet, joyful melody that brings him pleasure? Or is it a noise of distraction, of pride, and of self? I want you to know this morning, the Master is listening. We need to make sure that he hears a melody that honors him. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed this morning. Let's stand together at our feet.